Podcast, episode number 23.
23. We have to act mature.
Yeah.
I don't want to act mature.
I did not act mature at 23 at all.
I'm craving tacos.
I will not grow up.
No.
Toys are beer. Yeah.
There was no way that I was acting mature at 23. But, guys, we're back. Everything is good again. We took a week off. Did you guys grow mentally during that week? Did you put in the work?
I did. I went and brewed a beer.
You did brew a beer.
Well,
that's really awesome.
See, that is the type of improvements on ourselves that we need during these weeks off.
Exactly.
So, Jason, go ahead and just tell us about this beer.
Well, first of all, it's Jason the chef that brewed the beer,
yeah,
not
Jason,
Kevin the beer guy that brewed the beer.
So,
Jason the chef. So, what'd you learn? What'd you do?
Mad Tree Brewing. Out of Cincinnati, they contacted us.
They're fantastic,
yes,
by the way. I love
absolutely.
Them.
Yeah. They do a chef series that it's a beer that they contact the chef about, and then they come up with a recipe based on a dish that the chef does or some type of food-driven beer. And they contacted us. We're the first restaurant, Village Idiot, first restaurant in Lexington or Kentucky that they've contacted to do that series. So we went up on Friday, and it was a 500-gallon batch, which by their standards is small. Like, they're doing much, much bigger batches. But we did it based on our duck and waffles. So we took some of the elements of the duck and waffles and brewed a saison. It's going to have rosemary, thyme, orange zest, and cane syrup in it, which are all ingredients on the duck and waffles.
Yum.
And we went for a saison style with some Belgian yeast, some Belgian malts. And it will be available at all of our restaurants, Beer Trap, Village Idiot, Pazzo's, and then also Baron Butcher once it opens. It'll be available at all those starting the week of the 21st.
So we're going to have the duck and waffles at all four places too, right?
And it's got a fun name, Duck Duck Bear.
I do like that. Will Mad like Tree in general be available as well?
Yes. One of the reasons they contacted us about doing this was because they're opening up distribution into the Central Kentucky market.
Because I love their Entropic Theory. I mean, that is one of my favorite IPAs, actually.
That shade is it's the blackberry sea salt tart, sour ale. Man, that is crushable.
They're definitely one of the prize breweries out of the Cincinnati market. They made a brief introduction to Central Kentucky about 2 years ago. And when they did, man, there's a huge fan fury about their beers. We at the Beer Trap, we had their beers, several of the flagships and cans. We did a tap takeover, so they were real popular. So they had to backtrack from the market. It's basically ramp up for this expansion that they've now gotten through. So now they're coming back. So we couldn't be happier about re-welcoming them in. It's like that hot girlfriend that you used to date briefly, but she moved away. Guess what? She's moving back.
That's
really awesome.
Well, it seemed like talking to those guys, it seemed like they did it the right way. They kind of put their feelers out for what kind of volume they would be doing.
Tested the market, yeah.
And then they decided to build the brewery before they decided to expand.
See, that's
which
good,
is
yeah.
The smart way to do it.
They tailored to the market rather than, hey, let's make a bunch of beer and see where we can take it.
Exactly.
So before we get into the Kentucky beers, which tonight we're enjoying a fantastic one.
Fantastic.
Let's continue talking about some Ohio beers, because right now I've got you guys trying out some Hoofhearted Brewing. This is a farmhouse pale ale called Tub Life. What do you guys think?
It's really nice. They've done a really good job. Of course, the good news and the bad news about American microbrewing beer is that we recognize history, but we're not bound by history. We can take a style that was born in Belgium, adapt it, and then rework it with our new tools, our new tricks, our new techniques, and our new ingredients. Some of those new ingredients are our hops and the way we rework beers. If you know anything about Hoofhearted as a brewery, you know that they're really, really good at making these New England-style IPAs. That's the haze craze that's kind of sweeping the beerscape right now. And everybody that likes hoppy beers, they're looking for these New England-style IPAs. Hoofhearted is one that's gravitated toward that style early on, and they just rock them out. Hoofhearted makes about 80 different beers, and I think about 70 of them are this kind of beer. usually they stick with a pale ale IPA, imperial IPA form, but this time they've adapted that Saison from Belgium, that style that's supposed to be spicy, supposed to be fruity, supposed to be very, very dry, and they just loaded it with hops, and they've created that hazy kind of characteristic with this beer. It really celebrates that winey, citrusy tone. When I say citrusy, it's not so much like the grapefruit and the orange that you get from American IPAs. It's now lemon. It's now lime.
Yep.
It's some gooseberry, some flavors like that coming through. It's a little bit drier, a little bit softer of a taste than what we usually get from most of Fafarga's IPAs. But this is not an IPA. It's a Saison. And so they've actually done something really kind of cool. They've bridged that gap between what is New England style in the hoppy world and what is Saison in the Belgian world. And they just brung those together really with a seamless beer. Yeah.
Very juicy, really, really nice and smooth. I'm very impressed. And their branding is pretty great.
This is
They're
actually
out there.
A artist that is local to Columbus, because I visited a hot dog shop there, and they their entire wall was just covered in this artist's renditions of different rock groups, different things. So it was pretty cool. And then when I went to the brewery, I saw that they had it on their branding there, and it's pretty cool. I mean, they are Columbus true and true, and I really appreciate it. Actually, I have another one for us to try, which is Hot Probs, which is probably the juiciest pale ale that I have ever tried, and I really like it.
Can't wait to dig into that one.
So as soon as you guys are finished with that one, we will embark on this one. Actually, while I was there, it was funny. You guys mentioned Kevin specifically, you mentioned how much into the New England style that they are and stuff. Well, one of the things that I found while I was there was they made a hell of a stout. This stout was a coffee stout. It was a vanilla coffee stout, and it was called Girth Brooks.
Of course it is.
At 15%, it was that much more that you could handle, period. I mean, it was fantastic. Probably one of the better coffee stouts that I've ever had, honestly. And
so are you saying
awesome.
You experienced the extra girth?
I experienced the extra girth, and I wanted more of the girth. I mean, I was begging for it. So
Hoofhearted, they make you do that. There's no question. When you hear the term Hoofhearted, you go to Hoofhearted. So, of course, that's what they're going for. Their entire marketing campaign is driven by a 14-year-old that has access to Urban Dictionary. There's no question about it. It makes it fun. It makes it adolescent. It makes it immature. But it certainly brings a certain appeal to it that reminds us that craft beer, even though it's sophisticated and it's complex and it goes a lot of different directions, it's still a common man's beverage. And if you want a beer, there's a craft beer for you. And Hoofhearted is exploiting that. And I think doing it the right way, even though they are tricky into marketing sometimes. But the Girth Brooks sounds fantastic. So, dig into it a little bit deeper. Viscosity, dryness, savory, what'd you think?
As I drank it, it didn't really have much dryness, but it left you with just this absolutely beautiful coffee, vanilla coffee bean undertones that just were there and pulling at you. I mean, I'm a common man. So when I drank it, that coffee aftertaste, it got me. I loved it. I mean, it was probably, like I said, one of the best coffee stouts that I've ever drank because of that coffee aftertaste in general. I mean, it got me immediately when I had that aftertaste. I was like, wow, this is what I want from a coffee stout. And there it was.
Sounds fantastic.
See, I can't really go into it deep like you can. You mentioned all those things, and I'm like, well, it was a good beer.
Yeah.
But
sometimes that's all you need.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. The coffee aftertaste, once again, that was what got me, and it was beautiful. And the thing about it is I like to mix a little bit of vanilla with my coffee, so the fact that actually happened in a beer was just great. I mean, it was good.
I think vanilla is one of those that can go really overboard, though. When they tame it and you do it correctly, it's really beautiful, but it's one of those,
it's a powerful spice, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to underestimate because you think, well, it's so delicate and it has a softness to it that you think you have to use more than you do. Well, if you do, you make it too sweet and you really dull the beer out. Just the same way as when you work with a coffee, if you put too much cream or too much vanilla or too much something like that, you can really dull the flavor of the coffee, and you don't want to do that. Don't overestimate, underestimate the kind of character that vanilla really, really does have. It doesn't take a whole lot to really do it go a long way.
I'll tell you this. Don't expect to see too many vanilla beers because vanilla just went through the roof. Madagascar had a hurricane, a drought, and then a some problem with like shipping all at the same time.
Wow. So, and that's where most of our most prized vanilla beans come from.
It's pushed
Madagascar.
It up to where like up a Madagascar vanilla bean is like $7 or $8.
Jeez.
I'm glad that I experienced that before that happened.
Enjoy your $27 beer, Josh.
Kevin, you were talking about an experience in Asheville before this that Girth Brooks reminded you of. Could you tell us about that?
It did. Well, we went from Girth Brooks, and Jason mentioned a beer that was similar that he liked. It's called the Donut Skillet by Burial Brewing Company down in Asheville, North Carolina. And it reminded me of a pickle I got myself into about 2 years ago when my wife turned 40 years old. I'm sorry, wifey. She's going to listen to this.
You mean
she's
30.
Going to get on. I mean 23 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
You caught it before I could call you out. Edit.
I got you.
Can you tell I've had too much of the pint night so far? Those things just slide right out. But anyhow, the pickle I got myself into was she wanted to sign up for this amazing pub cycle. And by the way, the people who run this amazing pub cycle down there, most charismatic people in the world, I don't care who you're on that bicycle with, they'll make you love everybody on that bike before you get off of it.
Couldn't be the beer.
But anyhow, you basically travel around on this like this pub that is a bicycle. And there's rules. Every time you stop, you have to drink. Every time you do this, you have to drink. Every time you do this, you have to drink. Well, I knew I was signing up for this three-hour tour, basically, and we're going to do a couple breweries, and you're going to sample some things there. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be 3 hours. I'm going to need enough beer to get me through. So, I stop and I said, okay, let's get the skillet, the donut. That's going to be a good thing. There's four cans. They're 16 ounces. They're 11% alcohol. That should get me through just fine. I figured, well, I'll drink one or two and maybe bring the rest of them home. Well, there's so many damn rules you have to follow. So, of course, we get on singing those rules. So I'm drinking. Everybody else on the pub cycle, they got like the New Belgium, the softer beers from them. And they have, the All Days by Founders and some beers that kind of go along that vein. So they're sipping these things and they're fine. I'm getting on this thing and I'm taking big drinks too. And all of a sudden, after about an hour and a half, two brewery tours and I'm drinking these things, I start swimming a little bit. And so we get back out there and it starts raining and they start covering this thing up. They didn't stop that bike. We keep traveling. And all of a sudden, I'm sliding off this bar. I'm thinking, it's like, this is not going to end well for the beer architect. This is going to be disastrous. But the good news is, I got through it all, but I ended up finishing all four of those skillets like in 3 hours along with all these flights
oh
you do.
Oh, my God.
So it was a... I was pretty well drunk. It's like 7 o'clock in the afternoon, and now I was pretty well done.
Wife's got to take care of him on her birthday.
I mean, I was telling this guy that's running this bike. And I was like, chase down that food truck. I know he's not parked anywhere, but chase him down. I could use some of his food right now. It was a fun experience. I enjoyed it. So if you went to the Asheville area, please consider the pub cycle. But get the light beer. Don't get the Imperial Stout. Don't get the 11%.
Don't go crazy. Guys, we've reached the end of episode 23.
I feel like Excellent. We sounded much more mature that time.
We did.
We sounded like we're 23. We're almost ready to pay our bills on time.
But the thing is I get more and more into this Fantastic by Ethereal Brewing, and I'm not going to sound more mature in the next episode. I promise you that.
There's a lot of beer on this table, guys.
And we keep going through it.
I don't see the staff pouring these down the drain.
I tell you what, 24 is going to be a fun episode. So you guys, you might want to stick around and listen to that one next week. If you don't, you're going to regret it because we're going to go a little crazy. So anyway, it is Pazzo's Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us at Pazzo's Podcast on Twitter or at Pazzo's Podcast WLXG on Instagram. We take pictures of things occasionally. We need to get more into that. I need to take more pictures. So tonight, remind me, guys, that I need to take a picture.
Well, there's a reason they say face for radio.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely have it and always have had it.
I think all three of us.
That's true. We're ugly people.
Let's take a selfie and face it.
We are some ugly people. And Kevin's doing duck lips right now. Did you see that, Jason?
That's a duck lip, right?
There were duck lips involved right there. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Episode number 23. We'll be back for 24. Just stick around. Thank you so much. It's Pazzo's podcast.